Yes, hello, Dan Owen here. Very nice, very evil, very famous. And I am here to say hello and introduce you to the Wrestling podcast of some sort. It is very nice, very evil, I am told. So listen to it, decide for yourself, or be cursed.
Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your true hill phenom, SP3. Back once again with another edition of the New Japan Pro Wrestling Focus Podcast here at Wrestling.com. Yes, it is time for another Ace Techers, and I am joined as always, well, not as always, because he wasn't here last time, but he's back. He is here. He is the man over at Wrestle Things and the man over here on Ace Techers, NK. What's going on?
Yo, people. I'm glad to be here, man. Glad to be here, you know. There's a lot to talk about. You know, the build to Wrestle Kingdom has begun. Power Struggle is an incredible show, and yeah, man, there's just a lot to dive into, man. So yeah, man, let's get it cracking.
A lot to unwrap. New Japan has had two major shows since the last time we were here on WrestleIn.com, so there's a lot for us to discuss. Shout-outs to Sonal, who is not with us for today. She is celebrating holiday, religious holiday right now, so shout-out to her. She'll be back on the next edition of Ace Techers, but we previewed Power Struggle at the end of last show, so let's recap and talk all about Power Struggle. And of course, we're gonna start off with the biggest thing possible, which was the main event, Will Ospreay versus Shoto Amino in what may be the late match of the year candidate. This is very, very late, because November, December, you know, match of the year talk, you tend to be like, oh, it's recency bias if you put it in match of the year. Nope, not with this one. 40 minutes, 16 seconds, an emotional, epic war, the longest match of Shoto Amino's career, the best match of Shoto Amino's career. Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter rated the match 5.75 stars, 5 3/4 stars, one of the highest rated matches of the year outside of the three other six-star matches that Ospreay has had this year. Just an incredible year for 2023, an unreal all-time year. Like I say, top 5 year a wrestler has ever had is Will Ospreay.
Sorry, what were the 6-star match? So obviously Kenny Omega, the both Kenny Omega matches, and what was the third 6-star match?
Tetsuya Naito, the G1.
Got it.
But this is fourth. This is now the fourth highest rated matchup. All of them involve Ospreay. So what did you think about this matchup? I just love the story and how you significantly can pinpoint. The best matches to me are the long matches where you can pinpoint where the gear shifts. And with this one, I've been talking about it all week across multiple platforms. But the moment of the matchup was when Ospreay hit that second super kick in the cheeky Nando's position to Shoto Amino that busted his nose open. And Shoto Amino just became another guy. He had that dog in him. He stopped selling the forearms. He comes back straight mollywops Ospreay. He hits his own os cutter. He goes through a table. He gets back inside. He's kicking out of all the big moves. And just, it was just unreal to watch him going into the Moxley mode at the end when Ospreay tried to ground and pound him. And then he came back, tried to ground and pound Ospreay. There was just so many great moments in this matchup. But this felt like a star maker certified. Like, it feels like it was another level of a star maker performance, even more in my opinion than Yota Tsuji. But what did you feel about this matchup?
Honestly, like, I watched the match and I was like it's almost laughable how good Will Ospreay is. Like, it's actually laughable. And I'm like, what, like, why does this man keep doing this? Like, why? Like, why are you going out and just having classic? And the thing is, like, I have, like, a lot of friends who, like, primarily, like, don't watch New Japan or primarily, like, just watch WWE and AEW here and there. So, like, and one of my coworkers, in fact, is a huge WWE fan. And I feel like I've annoyed him because I've come into work saying, did you watch that Will Ospreay match? Which one? The week a couple weeks ago, it was Zack Sabre Jr. The couple weeks after that was Mike Bailey. Now I'm like, hey, do you watch the Showtime match? He's like, how many Will Ospreay matches do I have to watch? All of them.
All of them.
Whether we go back to Tai Chi in the beginning of the year, whether we go back to, you know, Yota Tsuji, whether we go back to Tetsuya Naito, we've gone back to Okada. You gotta watch all of them. Every single Will Ospreay match. Like, this guy, I think it's one of the best, like, purely book of match volume and quality. It's one of the best years I've ever seen in wrestling. And I've seen tremendous years. I have seen Okada 2017. I have seen Kenny Omega 2018. I have seen Bryan Danielson 2021, where he first joined AEW. I have seen years in wrestling. If Will Ospreay ain't the best, he's amongst the best. And it's just like, what is, but even to put Will Ospreay to the side, Shota Umino, that's been my boy. I've been on the Shota hype train for a while, and it was scary for our Shota fans, especially when Tsuji came back, and it was like, hold on, wait, what's this Tsuji guy doing? And this Tsuji guy still lost spotlight, he's still the momentum. But Shota Umino reminded us why they put him in the ring with KG, why they put him on the same team as KG Muto and Hiroshi Tanahashi. He reminded us why he is. I'm saying it. Shota Umino is the future ace of this company. He is the guy that New Japan Gedo should build the company around in years to come. This guy is the future. What, like, just the spirit, the fight, and the tenacity. I felt it. Shota Umino, he's here. He's here. And you know what? Like, I wanted him, like, I got super babyface energy where I got, like, I know he gets the Tanahashi comparisons a lot, and that's because of just how they look and their stature. But when Shota Umino was, like, when he had his nose busted and I was nose-selling Will Ospreay, I was cheering for him, like, beat Will Ospreay. I'm a Brit. I've interviewed Will. Will's a good guy. But during that moment, with all due respect, William, I was like, Bun Will, it's time for Shota. It's time for him to win the title. And when he lost, I felt like disappointment, but that childish disappointment where it's like, oh my God, my favorite guy didn't win, disappointment. Like, I'm watching wrestling as a 10-year-old again, disappointment. Like, oh man, why? Why? But listen, man, I need that title on Shota. Soon, I need a title. I need a major title on Shota soon. Listen, I don't know what you got planned for him at Wrestle Kingdom. Plan something now, proper. I wanted him to win, man, but obviously they got bigger plans for Ospreay. Actually, they don't. They have half of a bigger plan.
We're gonna get to that, but yeah. Man, I agree with most of what you said, but in this matchup, like you said, he gets all the comparisons to Tanahashi, and he has that top guy aura, that presence of Tanahashi. But I'm talking about that moment where you got his nose busted and he was no-selling. That was his Murder Ibushi. That was his Murder Ibushi side.
Yes.
He showed that Ibushi dog.
Yes.
That was, yes, Ibushi all day. I was like, oh, okay. You got this level to you. So that is why we have to revisit our Three Musketeers ranking. The last time we did this ranking, it was after the Ospreay matchup at Destruction with Yota Tsuji, 5-star rated by Dave Meltzer. Like I said earlier, Shota Umino at Power Struggle, 5.75, the fourth highest rated matchup of 2023. So how are we ranking them? We're not even going to... I'm sorry, Narita. You just have a permanent residency in the third spot right now. Like, you have not moved from this third spot. These two guys have gone back and forth at times in the year, but you have stayed in that third spot.
Yeah, so you stayed there.
Who's number
two? He's competing right with Yomura now. He's with you.
Yomura about to take his spot. About, yeah, to take his third spot.
Yeah. Listen, I'm Team Shota all the way. And listen, this match just exemplifies that. I'm Team Shota. Team Shota. Shota's number one. But it's going to be, and I feel like, listen, that is the next feud, major feud to build. When we get Shota versus Tsuji, I don't want to be, that is your Okada Naito. That
I'm
is your.
Right now, we're recording this November 12th, 2023.
Yeah,
Wrestle Kingdom 20.
Ooh,
Tsuji Umino for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
We need that. We absolutely need that. Those are the two we've been, because I remember for a while now we've been asking. Okay, I mean Okada's still young, but like he's done. He's basically completed New Japan. Right now, he's doing side missions. Naito's getting up there in age. We know they're not going to push guys like Shingo and so on and so forth. They've tried a new thing with Sanada. This Sanada title reign hasn't gone down well. Who's the next generation? Who are the guys? And, you know, we've been speculating. We've been seeing, okay, cool. Who's up next? I thought the top Japanese stars are set. Like we've seen them now. It's Tsuji and Shota. And obviously, you know, Narita, he's not in the mix right now, but they have high hopes in him. He just needs to evolve and adapt his gimmick. But Tsuji and Shota are the people that you New Japan need to place their bets on. Put all the stocks and chips into them and just push them, man. Push them, push them. Like, make it a rivalry. Like, almost, I want to say like a Tanahashi Okada rivalry, because that rivalry was just a different thing and a different time. But these two, this rivalry should be the rivalry that carries the company, in my personal opinion.
I think it will be. I think it will be. And I think that Shota Umino and Yota Tsuji are kind of going to have to bring up Uemura and Ren Narita. And I feel like New Japan know that. And I think they're setting up these two, the first year of these guys, you know, being in New Japan proper over in Japan. I think they have firmly established that these are the two guys that are going to be the main eventers. We'll see about Narita. Well, hopefully he gets up to that Shibata status of like never open weight guy who we can make like a mainstay in that division. I think that right now, my biggest bet for my big other prediction that's more recent, not in 2026, like my Wrestle Kingdom 20 prediction, but my other prediction, you said about Shota Umino having a big match, and I agree with you. And I've been talking about this for a while, and we haven't got the lineup yet, but I think they are going to be a pair. I think Shota Umino and Ren Narita should win the World Tag League and should beat Bishamon for the IWGP Tag Team titles at Wrestle Kingdom.
Ooh, that is a good shout. That is a good shout. But how long do you have him with the titles? Because as much as that team is a good team, I want to see Shota in singles. I want to see him with singles. Do you know what? Screw it. New Japan Cup, let's go. New Japan Cup, let's go. Let's do it. New Japan Cup, let's go. Listen, push this guy to the moon. Frank Sinatra, fly Shota to the moon. Let's go. Let's do it. Gato, stop being a coward. Let's go.
Listen, we all know Gato's the coward. I mean, you're acting for too much.
Isn't the day I'm going to say this, I'm putting out here a disclaimer for all Ace Techers listeners. Prepare the day Shota wins a big title. He wins an IW. No, the day he wins the title.
Yes.
The IWGP heavyweight title. Prepare to be sick of me. Prepare to be sick of me. You my guys might not see me, but SP3 will see my room with balloons. I'll have the Japanese flag behind me. I'm gonna go ballistic. I'm here. It. I'm all for Shota Umino. I'm all for it.
I'm a big fan of him as well. That's why I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say Shota Umino right now is number one out of the Rewa Three Musketeers, because that match just showed me a totally different side to him that I want to see more of. I want to see more of that Shota Umino. Give me more of that Shota Umino, and I'll be all for it. But yeah, A hell of a matchup, one of the best matches of the year from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think we'll wait till one of our two episodes in December to give our year end award. So we only got three more episodes to think about things. But there was the post-match, which you kind of alluded to earlier, what happened after the match, after Ospreay defeats Shoto Amino. Jon Moxley gets in the ring. Will Ospreay lays down the IWGP US Championship. He said, "You made that irrelevant." He challenges. He's going to challenge Jon Moxley. The fans are going, "Ooh!" The fans are getting excited. And then a big bucket of cold water named David Finlay comes out with a shillelagh, lays out Will Ospreay, lays out Jon Moxley, gets on the mic, and Gato says, "Billy Club need the rebel. The IWGP US Championship need the rebel. The IWGP UK Championship need the rebel." And the rebel decides to bring out a mallet like he's Fiend Bray Wyatt, resurrected, RIP, and starts smashing both the US and UK championships. He says that these titles mean so much to these two, and he doesn't give a damn about either one of them, destroying both titles. It's then made backstage. Will Ospreay suggests he makes the challenge, says that he wants a three-way with Moxley and Finlay, and he tells New Japan to create a new championship for him to elevate. So it's been made official. Wrestle Kingdom 18, January 4th, 2024. It will be Will Ospreay versus Jon Moxley versus David Finlay to determine a new champion. We don't know the title. We don't know the name as of yet. What did you think about this post-match angle that has gotten a lot of polarizing views from the native fans out in Japan and the international fans in the UK and the US? What did you think, NK?
You see, after this post-match angle, I went on Spotify. I typed in Michael Jackson Human Nature because I kept asking myself, why? Why has Gato done this? Why David Finlay? Listen, I was already emotionally distraught because I wanted Shota to win. But I said, okay, cool. Will Ospreay versus Jon Moxley at Wrestle Kingdom? Hey, ain't nobody complaining about that. David Finlay, you don't belong here. In the words of Bianca Belair, you don't even go here. Why are you here? We don't want you. Who asked for you? I want a show of tweets or comments or whatever. Who asked for David Finlay in this IWGP title picture? Who? I want to know who you are, and I want to know what, like, are you Gato stooge? Did you put Gato up to this? Because there is no reason for David Finlay to be in this match. Now, the only decent contribution he made is smashing the two titles. Only because if I think we're getting back the Intercontinental Championship, which we many times have been pleading, yes, begging, groveling for, we need the IWGP Intercontinental Championship back again. We need that title back. So, fair. But come on, man. David Finlay don't belong here. The whole point was supposed to be Moxley versus Ospreay. That is a match fit for Wrestle Kingdom. Really, our controversial take, I don't even like it when New Japan do triple threat matches in general.
It's so unlike them. So it's weird when they do it.
It's weird. It's not them. It's not. That's a very Western thing for me. And New Japan, I prefer the traditional mano a mano singles match. But why? I'm always going to watch Wrestle Kingdom. I can't miss it. But I'm going to look at this match, and when David Finlay's on TV, I'm just going to be like, why? Why? Now I got to play Michael Jackson again.
That, yeah, it was a choice. It was a choice. It was a choice by Gato. He's really, he's trying to make Fetch a thing. He's trying to make David Finley a thing. And like my friend Jay News over at True Hill, he said, this is the last time. He was like, if it don't work this time, then you got to stop trying, because this is his biggest, this is the biggest push possible they're giving him. And, you know, there's certain people we've had, you know, my friend Jay News does not like David Finley too much. So we've had people who are defending David Finley in our comments and saying, oh, you know, all the Bullet Club leaders got this type of reaction. But I made the point in our review, and I'll say it here. They did a lot of work with these Bullet Club leaders before they became the Bullet Club leader. It wasn't, they were, what, the fourth best gaijin in New Japan for a long time. And, you know, had great matches, but then out of nowhere attacked the leader of the Bullet Club and became the Bullet Club leader. No, none of that happened. AJ Styles comes in as the face of Impact Wrestling and TNA, comes in, wipes out Kazuchika Okada, beats him in his first matchup to become the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and it was firmly established he's a top guy now from there after his G1. So, yeah, maybe it took some time for people to dip their toes in the water, but it wasn't long that they did the work, gave him a big win over Okada, gave him a great G1. They did the work to kind of establish him right after when he came into the company. Kenny Omega was the king of the junior heavyweights for a year. Him and Kushida bounced around that junior heavyweight championship. But when he was ready to move up, he made a big move in attacking AJ Styles after he just pinned Shinsuke Nakamura in a tag team matchup, lays out him, creates the Elite, becomes the leader, takes Bullet Club to another level, goes on to beat Tanahashi for the Intercontinental Championship, holds that for a while, has the first ladder match, and then goes on to become the first gaijin to win the G1. They did the work. In his first try, Jay White, they build that up for like 6-8 months of him being this snake in the grass who, when Kenny Omega invited him into the Bullet Club, he turned on him, then beats Kenny Omega for the IWGP US Championship, has a good run with that, has a good G1 where he beats Okada, and then after that, in like the destruction, the time of period where everybody's telling me, oh, nothing great happens, that's when Jay White becomes the leader of the Bullet Club, because they did all the work for the first 8 months of the year that it made sense when he became the leader of the Bullet Club. And then he goes on to beat Okada at Wrestle Kingdom and then wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship and sells out Madison Square Garden. They did the work before, they did the work after. David Finley, like I said, he was the fourth best gaijin in New Japan. He picks up his shillelagh, hits Jay White, who's number one or number two behind Will Ospreay in New Japan in that hierarchy of gaijins. He takes him out, then basically culture vultures his whole look. And then they tell us, oh, he's the leader of the Bullet Club. He has a nice New Japan Cup where, if you're going to do the work to, you know, establish the guy, he probably should have won that New Japan Cup. I'm just saying. If you want to make him a ding, that was the thing to do, is to have him win the New Japan Cup. But no, he makes the finals. Sanada wins. Sanada goes on to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Oh, don't worry. You got this nice little consolation prize, Seth Rollins. You can win the Never Openweight Championship. Great job. It's like you fumbled the bag on the before. You fumbled the bag on the after as well. And then he drops the title to the guy he won it from. Tamatanga. Yeah. Baffling. It's baffling how they have booked him since he became the Bullet Club leader, not to mention all the bad stuff they did before that.
And not to mention as well, his G1 run was pretty uneventful. Yeah. And he's not even the hottest guy in his faction. You could argue, okay, everyone says Gabe Kidd should be leader. Cool. You could argue Dan Maloney and Clark Connors are more over than David Finley. You could make that argument very, very plausibly. He's probably, and you would, in fact, I would go, he's one of the least interesting members of Bullet Club.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everybody's saying.
Put it this way. If you put Gabe Kidd in this triple threat match, yes, there'd probably be some outrage because we were robbed of Ospreay versus Moxley. It would not be to the same degree as this.
Yeah.
People wouldn't be saying Gabe Kidd doesn't belong here. They'll be saying we could do this match later. Or we could do this at a later time. Maybe not Wrestle Kingdom. I don't want to see this match at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't want to see this match at Dominion. I don't want to see a Power Struggle. I don't want to see this at a Road 2 show. I don't want to see this anywhere. I don't want to see this in New Japan Strong. I don't want to see it any destruction of Kobe, Ryogoku, anywhere.
This I'm not that turned off of the match. I think it would be great because you have Ospreay, you got Moxley, and despite everything I just said about Finlay, when he's in there with those type of guys, he usually has a great matchup.
Listen, the only time I want to see David Finlay versus Moxley or Will Ospreay is in a tournament. Other than that, I'm exaggerating a little. That's a little. You can put those matches on a B pay-per-view and I'll be happy. Not at Wrestle Kingdom. Hell no. Hell no. Not at Wrestle Kingdom. This is the mecca of professional wrestling. This is the gold standard of wrestling. This is Wrestle Kingdom has notoriously been the place where every single year the match of the year is already decided.
That's what happened this year.
Yeah, the match of the year is already decided. And on the great Wrestle Kingdoms of bygone eras, pay-per-view of the year is already decided.
Yeah.
So, this match... It'll be a good match. David Finlay can wrestle. But it went from being, hey, early match of the year contender, to it'll be a good match.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Because Ospreay and Moxley wrote itself. They've only had one other match that had a controversial finish where Moxley beats him for the IWGP US Championship. Literally, he's the only guy from AEW that has stand across the ring from Royal Ospreay in a singles match and won. In the past 2 years, no one from AEW contracted has beaten Will Ospreay. He didn't get his win back. Kenny Omega got his win in the New Japan ring at Wrestle Kingdom, but Ospreay got his win back in an AEW ring. Moxley was the only guy he beat and never got his win back. So this was the time to do it. It would have made this Wrestle Kingdom card look even better, but Jon Moxley did get a big win to set himself up for the big matchup at Wrestle Kingdom because he had one of the, I would say in 2023, I don't think a match has exceeded my expectations more than Jon Moxley versus Great Okan. Because I thought I was going into something and I was expecting one thing. And then I just got this wild, visceral, insane brawl that never touched the ring. The matchup gets thrown out immediately, and Moxley suggests we do a false count anywhere matchup. And the false count anywhere because they fought throughout the crowd. It was just like the crowd felt like they were in danger. Moxley's bleeding all over the place. He chokes out Great Okan to get the victory in this one. I absolutely love this matchup so much. Like, I cannot explain to you. It was an experience for me. What did you think about Moxley versus Great Okan?
Yeah, this is a match on paper where I was like, I don't know about this. And then it just turned into absolute chaos, anarchy, madness. And you know what? Maybe this is what we do with Great Okan from now on.
Yes.
Just put him in absolute plunder, chaos. Because this is Moxley's domain. We've been known this is Moxley's domain. So it's like, you know, that this is what he's built for. But Okan, hey man, listen, I've kept my opinions quiet about Great Okan. I think Great Okan's very entertaining, but he's not someone I really like. When I see a Great Okan match on the card, I'm like, oh my God, I need to watch this. Except for now. I was like, by the end of this match, I was like, yeah, this might be the first Great Okan match I'm actually excited to rewatch again.
There's only been one other before this one. And it's also, I think, like with Great Okan, it just has to be different. If it's a different matchup than everything else you're seeing on the show, it stands out more. And the one I thought about immediately after this matchup, where I was just like, okay, yeah, this is his best match since this one, was the Zack Sabre Jr. match in the G1. The first time they faced in the G1, where they never left the ring. It was all mat work pretty much the entire time. And it was like, whoa, like they always told us Great O'Connor was an amateur wrestler. But that was the first time I was like, okay, now I see it. He just went hold for hold with Zack Sabre Jr. And that was so different from everything else in the card, everything else in the G1 that year, that I remember that one. But I feel like this match just edged it out for the best match of his career.
Yeah, like, you know what? Like, with Great O'Connor now, it's like, obviously, that like, they always build him as like a monster. But really, I would say right now, IWGP never open weight champion. I know the never open weight championship is always about strong style, but like, give the title a new identity, make it like the chaotic belt, where you don't necessarily have stipulations, but O'Connor is not concerned about wrestling people. He's going to beat people up.
KOPW as well.
Yeah.
You could do KOPW.
Yeah. That's what I think, all these wild stipulations. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to sound like a madman. I don't want to see this match, but under this circumstance, I'd see this match. Give me O'Connor versus Evil match in this stipulation.
I wouldn't mind that too. Only in this stipulation. False Count Anywhere. Yeah, I think we could see a great Evil matchup. I can't believe I just said that.
And you know what? Like, because the House of Torture interference wouldn't be such a bad thing if the match is already chaotic. So in this one and only circumstance, wow, I have pitched an Evil match in 2023. That's crazy.
You have, and that gives us a perfect segue to bring up House of Torture, because I was already expressing my ire across multiple platforms on the fact that House of Torture made it to the finals of the Super Junior Tag League. And this was the first tournament this year, NK, that I really didn't follow week to week. I was part of a wedding. I was the best man in a wedding. Yeah. I had to deal with certain other content that I was doing. It was very hard. And then a whole bunch of big shows happened at the same time of Super Junior Tag League. We had the first weekend had Bound for Glory and Collision and Battle of the Belts. Then you had the following weekend, you also had Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Then you had the build up to like WWE Crown Jewel and all that other stuff that I do for other content. It was just so hard for me to sit down and watch these matches, or just watch particular matches. I'm still going to try to watch a few matches for the tournament, but this was the first one. But immediately before Power Struggle, I was thinking, okay, maybe I should like try to watch a few before I watch the final. But then Thursday show happened and House of Torture made the finals. I was like, okay, Gato, I got the message. You don't want me to watch. All right. Cool. I was like, you don't have to make that message any clearer to me that you don't want me to watch than you saying House of Torture won enough matches to make it to the finals. Yeah, I don't need to watch this tournament. I may go back. Despy Wato, you know, Sanal talked about them kind of being the MVP team of the tournament. And I do want to see them together against, you know, the Catch 2-2s, the LIJs, the Jet Setters, the Bullet Club War Dogs. But I'm not gonna absorb all this tournament because House of Torture was in the finals. But luckily for us, they did not win the finals. Edge Catch 2-2, TJP, and Francisco Akira win the Super Junior Tag League. I thought the match was actually pretty good as well. You know, we had the regular House of Torture nonsense, but United Empire would come through, including Bolton Oglin carrying Dick to the back. But you had Catch 2-2 get the victory after the match. Bullet Club War Dogs attack them, lay them out. And the story of the matchup was really made clear throughout this matchup and seemingly throughout the tournament, that now after the tournament, Bullet Club War Dogs beat Catch 2-2 again. So they are 2-0 against Catch 2-2. But now Catch 2-2 are the number one contenders. Can they finally beat the Bullet Club War Dogs at Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships? What did you think about this matchup? And if you saw the tournament, any thoughts on the Super Junior Tag League tournament?
I didn't follow the tag tournament too closely. I just like saw the results and So on and so forth. But I watched the final, obviously. But I really enjoyed the match until we got the inevitable. And I tweeted this, and Sonal was like, Sonal tweeted me saying, it's a House of Torture match. What do you expect? But you know, but most House of Torture matches aren't great.
No, they're not.
So when I actually got a good match, I was like, hold on, we're cooking, guys. Like, yeah, I'm enjoying myself. You know, this is a fun ride. And I just and I saw Evil, and I said, no. And then at that point, I just checked out, and I was like, okay, Catch 22 won. Great, cool. Okay, cool. We're gonna get Catch 22 versus Bullet Club War Dogs. That's great, but why? Why? I was enjoying the match. I was on the high because, you know, I think before this we got a great announcement, which we'll get to later. I went into this match feeling good. These guys were cooking. Catch 22 are an amazing team. An amazing team. I got really high hopes for them. And you know what? I finally started to see Show again.
You saw a glimpse of Show?
I saw Show again. And I said, yes.
Through the House of Torture nonsense, you saw him.
Through it all, I started to see my guy again. And what happened? You ruined it. But going on to Wrestle Kingdom, I don't know. You know what? I want Catch 22 to win, but I can't lie. Dan Maloney and Clark Connors. They're facing Dan Maloney and Clark Connors, right? Yeah. Boy, I've enjoyed them, man. Bullet, like, do you know what it is? I'm one step away from saying Bullet Club is really back. We need someone else as the leader, but everyone else in that faction is doing their job and doing it well.
Yeah.
These guys as a tag team, man, I believe them, man. These men are cold. These men are just, I love it. I love it. And if they win at Wrestle Kingdom, I have not got a problem with it at all. And I think that match is going to be a sleeper match. Catch 22 with Brooklyn, that's a sleeper match. Do not like underestimate how good that match could be. That I think that's going to be a highlight of Wrestle Kingdom when it comes down to the day.
Yeah, I was told by a lot of people that they had one of the best matches of the Super Junior Tag League Tournament. I remember their matchup at Independence Day where the Bullet Club War Dogs won was great. So I expect this one to be another stellar bout coming up at Wrestle Kingdom. But speaking of the junior heavyweight division, the champion Hiromu Takahashi made his seventh defense of the title against Taiji Ishimori. This was a Hiromu Taiji Ishimori matchup down to a T. I pretty much, like, watching the matchup, I was like, I feel like I've saw this match before. Like I feel like I've seen a match where Taiji Ishimori attacks Oromu's arm to set up for the bow lock. Like, I was like, I feel like I've saw it before. But it's still good. It's always good between these two. And Oromu shows some fire with his comeback. He could never hit the time bomb too to really put Ishimori away. But he used Ishimori's desire to go after the arm to hook the arm into the Oromu roll number two to gain the victory and retain the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Post-match, he got on the mic and made the challenge. He said now that he can officially wear the title since he beat the former champion, he says that he now wants to face the only guy from that four-way at Wrestle Kingdom he hasn't faced yet during this reign, El Desperado, his career rival. He gets in the ring. He accepts. He says he's going to get surgery before Wrestle Kingdom, but he will be back in time to face Hiromu in the Tokyo Dome. So it's the second time these two are in the Tokyo Dome fighting for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. This time, El Desperado is the challenger against Hiromu. What did you think about Hiromu versus Ishimori and the setup for the Junior Heavyweight Championship matchup at Wrestle Kingdom?
I thought Hiromu versus Ishimori. I said this. I've seen this match 1,000 times, and I can watch this match on the, like, and they deliver good matches, but it's Cena Randy Orton to me. I've seen it so many times. I'm just like, you know what?
Nah, you wallet. It's
Cena Randy Orton to me.
You wallet, man.
No, higher quality.
I'll say Cena Edge, because Cena Edge was always good. Cena Orton was played out so much, it just got bored. It just was straight up bored. This was at least still good. So Cena Edge. Give him some edge.
But it's to the point where, like, I'm not, like, when I see this match on the card, I'm not excited to be like, yay. I'm like, okay, cool. This will be a good match, but we've been here, we've done that. Hiromu versus listen, I'm a huge Despy fan. Despy's my guy. And honestly, I want him to win at Wrestle Kingdom. I feel like Despy's one of those guys, he's been champion before, but, like, I don't feel like, even, and you said this with Hiromu as well, I don't feel like the juniors, as of recent years, have gotten, like, the spotlight of juniors of the bygone era. You mentioned Kenny Omega earlier. You mentioned Kushida earlier. Those guys felt like immovable staples in their division, where, as of recent, I'll even go back to when Will Ospreay was there, it was like the belt would bounce around a lot more. It'd go to an Ospreay, a Hiromu, then go to Ishimori, then it'd go to a Despy. Like, the belt never felt concentrated on a person for a long period of time. Even though Hiromu was Mr. Super Juniors, like, he'd win the belt for a short period of time, lose it, and then win it back again. Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like Hiromu's obviously on this run, and I feel like they want to make this run the Hiromu run, where when you think of Hiromu and Hiromu's title run, you think of this one. So I think they'll keep it on him after this, but when it comes to Despy, I want him to win, but if he wins, it's going to be more of the same in terms of, like, the title moving around. So for the sake of the division, I'll say Hiromu wins, but then you give the title to someone outside of the trusted guys. I'm not a Master Wato fan, but hey, I think Master Wato would be an interesting pick. Just somebody, you know, somebody interesting, somebody that we don't expect, you know, somebody who's not safe. I feel like New Japan right now need to shake up in terms of their junior division. I know they shook up in terms of the heavyweight division and it didn't work, but sometimes taking risks is good, man.
Yeah, I think they should definitely start thinking about who's going to take this title off Hiromu. I made this is the suggestion over on True Hill Heat that Wato wins the Super Juniors again and then finally beats like Kota Ibushi won the G1 the first time and lost, and then he wins it again and then finally wins. I think they should give Wato that journey, and he should be the one that dethrones Hiromu at Dominion next year. That's what I think they should do with the Super Juniors, because they want this to be the Hiromu run, and I think he deserves it, because he's had two runs ended by injury. I was there when he landed on his neck in 2018. Then he gets the shoulder injury and he has to relinquish the title. I believe that was in 2021. So he's had two major runs that were probably gonna be this run. Then, but now they're letting him get the run that he's always deserved. And I think after that, he needs to either never open weight or go up to the heavyweight division. I feel like even though he doesn't have the stature, doesn't have the size of a heavyweight, and I don't see him doing anything as far as like workout or eating to get up the weight or anything like that, but his charisma is just so big. So he has such a big character. I think that he would be a natural fit to transition into the heavyweight division.
Yeah, for sure. I've always said, like, Hiromu mixing up with the top guys is great. Obviously the stature and the size is a problem, but I just think he's conquered the junior division to a point where it's like, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
So yeah, man.
When you win freaking what, 4 best of Super Juniors, 3 straight, you're a 5-time IWGP junior heavyweight champion, you're gonna break the record for the defense record, you don't need to be in this division anymore. Like, at that point, after this title run, there's nothing left for him to do. And when he won the title and there was some people that were questioning it, I always said, I was like, this is going to be the heroic. He's never really had a sustained run. Let him get that. That's the only thing left for him to do before I think that, yeah, it's now necessary for him to go up. This is it. After it's done, let's see him go up. I don't think it's going to be done at Wrestle Kingdom, though. But Speaking of Wrestle Kingdom, there's one other match for us to discuss, and it's for the Never Openweight 6-Man Tag Team Championships. Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus TMDK's Shane Hayes, Mikey Nicholls, and the NJPW World Television Champion, Zack Sabre Jr. And surprise, 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 the team greatest of all time had another great matchup. They just go out there every single time. It's just so excellent how we get like different like little single sequences. Then there's the tag team sequences. Then we get the triple team sequences. Everybody going in and out. Zack Sabre Jr. being in there with Tomohiro Ishii just reminded me of probably one of my favorite matches of the year on one of the first episodes of the Eight Checkers. I was talking about Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tomohiro Ishii for the TV title back at New Beginning. Reminded me of that. Anytime they're in the ring together, they are just magic because they have two completely different styles that just flows together so superbly. Zach goes in there with Okada, and it's great every single time. Shane Hayes being in there with like Okada and Tanahashi, that was a nice change of pace. And then finally, it was Tanahashi surprisingly pinning Zack Sabre Jr. to retain the Never Openweight 6-Man Tag Team Championships. 16 minutes, 15 seconds. Like I said, another tremendous bout. But everybody was then talking about the post-match NK because a certain individual was walking in a forest in a video. And he said, we have been in the ring with each other two times. And two times I have beaten you, but two times you have broken something of me. First it was my arm, now it's my orbital bone. Well, that's it. That's enough. He says an arm for an arm, an eye for an eye. Wrestle Kingdom 18, January 4th, Bryan Danielson challenged Kazuchika Okada, and he says he will break his arm so he never delivers another Rainmaker again. And Okada simply responds, Brian, yes. What do you think about the challenge? What did you think about the 6-man tag team match with Team GOAT versus TMDK? Team GOAT getting the win again. And then Okada, Brian too, set up for Wrestle Kingdom 18.
You see, for those, oh, this is an audio podcast, but right now I'm rubbing my hands like Birdman. Yeah, this is cash money right here. Yeah, this is exactly what we need. Listen, I'm gonna get to the announcement later. But listen, I'll say this. Team Go, Okada, Ishii, and Hiroshi Tanahashi are the best trios team in wrestling today. I don't want to hear nobody. I don't want to hear about House of Black. I don't want to hear about the Acclaimed. I don't want to hear about anybody in AW. This is the best trios team of 2023. Yep. Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
No, and this is like, obviously, you know, I still want old man hater Okada back, but Trios Okada, listen, I'm all for it. And listen, TMDK, I think they're one of my favorite stables out there. I mean, what can I say about this match that hasn't already been said? Just the chemistry, the spots, the sequences, just the star power. This is easily the most invested I've ever been in the Never Openweight 6-man titles.
Yeah, by far.
Easily. I mean, it's all downhill from here unless they put them on TMDK at some point. I think the crowd
was in love with them. The crowd was trying to root them on to victory.
Yeah, like TMDK, there's something special there. And if they want to, you know, keep the titles relevant, putting them on TMDK at some point is the move to make. But the matches these guys have had as a trios team, my word, man, these guys, shout out to them, man. I was kind of baffled by the move at first because I was like, this is just a random mashup of guys. Like, these guys are top guys, but random mashup of guys, but it's working. And now we talk about greatness. We talk about GOAT. We talk about GOAT versus GOAT. I'll be honest, their match at Wrestle Kingdom, at Forbidden Door didn't live up to the expectations I had. And that's, you could probably say that's due to the injury that happened, because you know how Okada matches go. They build, they build, they build, but we never got past the building process at Forbidden Door. We won't get Danielson in the G1, unfortunately. That's a reality that wrestling fans have to accept. With Danielson in the condition he is right now, this guy's walking around with one eye like a pirate. We're not going to get them in the G1. But we can get them. This guy's competed at WrestleMania. This guy's competed at AEW. But this is the pro. This is pro wrestling. This is Mount Olympus. This is pro wrestling heaven. This is the most prestigious state of them all. Forget grandest. When it talks about wrestling prestige, in the last 10 years, there ain't no stage in wrestling more prestigious than Wrestle Kingdom. We have gotten some of the greatest matches, whether it's AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, what Okada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kenny Omega versus Okada, Kenny Omega versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Shibata versus Ishii, Will Ospreay versus Hiromu Takahashi. Heck, Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega this year. The best matches in wrestling take place on this stage. And if Danielson wants to call himself the greatest of all time, which we know he is, he has to perform on the greatest stage of all time, which is Wrestle Kingdom. And who better than against the GOAT, Kazuchika Okada? I am ready. I am there. I am excited. This is pro wrestling. This is Tony Khan likes to throw around dream matches. This is the dream match. We've seen a lot of dream matches in wrestling. This is probably as big as it's going to get. Unless Roman Reigns wants to leave WWE and show up in the Tokyo Dome. This is as big as it's going to get. I almost broke my laptop. I was watching it and I had my phone in my hand. I threw my phone and it hit the top of my laptop. I said, "Well, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do.
Look what you made me do, Dragon and Okada."
But yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to say the least.
I cannot wait. Couldn't have said it better myself. These two guys, two of my all-time favorites, two of the greatest ever. And Tokyo Dome, man. Now, if only they would have gave us Ospreay and Moxley too. That would have been two matches better than the main event.
Oh yeah.
We're talking a lot about Wrestle Kingdom, and I haven't heard anyone even bring up. Some people forget that's the main event: Sanada versus Tetsuya Naito.
And the thing is, people were saying this about this year's Wrestle Kingdom, how Ospreay and Omega overshadowed White and Okada. This is worse.
Yes.
This is way worse. Because White and Okada, like, there was at least something going into that. And obviously, it was a no-key tribute as well. And White and Okada have insane in-ring chemistry. Oh gosh, Sanada and Naito. Entrances would be great.
I'm not as confident. Like before we got last year's Wrestle Kingdom main event, these two had like 4¾ stars in Madison Square Garden, Okada and White. They had like a 15-minute banger at Wrestle Kingdom in 2019 as well. Like they had series of matches they faced in the G1, like they had five matches where White was 4-1 going into that matchup. Five matches of either very good to great quality before they got this match. We literally only have two matches to really judge Sanada and Naito on, and both were in tournaments.
Yeah.
And both were not this Sanada.
No.
Not this weird Sanada who has the same attitude, the same energy, the same skill in the ring, but they're telling us he's a new guy because he got a new look. That's the new Sanada.
And also, let's let me say this. People thought like Cold Skull Sonata was boring. This guy's even more boring. Clean cut shaven. So listen, go back to dyeing your hair. Dye your hair. At least with Cold Skull Sonata, you had the mask, you had the flashy jacket. Yeah, he wrestles the same. Pretty much, he wrestles the same. But there was. I was a fan of Cold Skull Sonata, but this guy, he looks good. He looks like a champion. He looks a lot more prim and proper and someone who's, you know, the face of the company. But we've got that. His name's Kazuchika Okada.
We got that guy already.
Down to the robe. I know Sonata was just balling up her fist and saying, "AK, how dare you?" But let's be real.
Put you up to this. SP3 put you up to this. But with Power Struggle out the way, NK, we are now done with all the major events of the New Japan calendar year in Japan specifically. Yes. So in total, it was 11 shows, if I'm correct. If anybody can add some or comment in the social media or NK, if you're reminded. But from my calculations, the shows this year were Wrestle Kingdom 17.
Yeah,
Wrestle Kingdom 17 Part 2, NJPW versus Noah, New Beginning Sapporo Night 1, Sapporo Night 2, New Beginning Osaka, Sakura Genesis, Wrestling Dontaku, Dominion, Destruction in Kobe, Destruction in Ryogoku, and Power Struggle.
Yes. Because Historic X was last year. Yeah.
So what would you say was the best show out of that set?
Sakura Genesis. Because Sakura Genesis, we had the Mercedes Moné versus Azumi versus Hazuki match. We had, I believe that was the Blackpool Combat Club versus the... Was that?
No, that's Dominion.
That's Dominion, apologies.
Blackpool Combat Club versus Team Goat.
That's Dominion. Apologies. No, then we had obviously Sonata versus Okada, which was a good main event. I'm leaning towards Sakura Genesis. I think this Power Struggle's up there. I think Power Struggle.
I'm trying to separate the ones that I feel like are the best, and I have Power Struggle at top right now. Maybe it's recency bias, but I remember that. I think that my top four that I have right now, separated from the rest of the pack, is Power Struggle, Wrestle Kingdom 17, Sakura Genesis, and Dominion.
Dominion was really good.
Dominion had that Blackpool Combat Club versus Team Goat, Tsuji versus Sonata, Wato versus Hiromu.
Yeah.
Those were all three great matches. Like you said, Sakura Genesis had the main event with Sonata beating Okada, which really surprised everybody, even though it looked like Sonata was going to win. It just still, to see it, that was like, it was like, wow, they actually did it. They actually went all the way with Sonata. I love that match. Love the Mercedes, Azumi and Hazuki matchup. The Aussie Open versus Bishamon, which might be my favorite matchup that nobody remembers because this year has been crazy. But yeah, that show was great. Wrestle Kingdom, you got the Osprey and Omega. You got White and Okada. You had the four way for the junior heavyweight championship. Catch 2-2 versus Lee Yo. That was great when Leo busted his face on the guard on the stage. I'm gonna probably have to give the edge to Wrestle Kingdom 17.
Yeah,
because you have the moment of Mercedes debut as well to add that. And Omega Osprey is right now in the leader seat still for match of the year. And I think those are the four best shows though. Power Struggle, Wrestle Kingdom, Sakura Genesis, and Dominion.
Yeah, for sure. I think those are easily top four.
And I separated that from the finals because New Japan Cup, Best of Super Juniors final, G1 final, those were all great. But we still got World Tag League to go, so we'll probably be able to preview that next time. And maybe we'll get Sanal's opinion on what she thought were the best Japan-based shows. And we'll do more of a discussion about the New Japan Strong shows because they did like, what? 10 or 12 of those this year. And we still got to talk about Lone Star Shootout. But first, I wanted to mention, because you brought up something interesting when we brought up Brian Danielson. You said, we're never going to see Brian Danielson in the G1, which you seemingly seem correct. But we are going to see Brian Danielson 2 months before this man with a broken orbital bone is going to walk into the Tokyo Dome and verse Kashika Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. Everybody was like, oh, okay, it's great. You know, they said he was out for the rest of the year. So he's going to come back on January 4th. Come back like he did at All Out this year and have a 5-star matchup like he did with Ricky Starks. He'll have it with Okada. It'll be fine. He gets the rest up. Gets the rest of Broken Orbital Bone. Nope! On the November 11th episode of AEW Collision, seemingly out of nowhere, freaking 10 days after Tony Khan hyped up an important announcement that was tickets going on sale for a damn show, we got an important announcement, because not only is Tony Khan standing in there, but Cyclops, aka Brian Danielson, with one eye patched up, tell us that, yeah, you should come to All In, because Brian Danielson will be there. Oh, that's nice and dandy. That's August 25th, 2024. Yeah, he's got enough time to rest up for that. No, they're also here to tell us about the Continental Classic. Or as I've seen on our good friend Seth Itanyangi is calling it the E1, the Elite One tournament. Continental Classic is going to be 12 stars from the AEW roster battling out in a round robin tournament where it's going to go week to week on Dynamite and Collision starting on November 22nd in Chicago, Illinois. And the first entrant is the American Dragon, Brian Danielson.
He's nuts. He's absolutely nuts. What's wrong with him? No, do you know what it is? Yeah, I am never someone to take the side of WWE, but they saved him from himself. They saved him from himself. Because, like, nobody with a sane mind says, okay, I'm wrestling Kazuchika Okada at the Tokyo Dome at my first ever Wrestle Kingdom. I probably need to take it easy. Danielson said nope, and Tony Khan said sure. Yeah. Like, I'm not complaining about seeing Danielson wrestle. I'm not even complaining. I'm just concerned that Danielson should be squashing people until the final. I don't want to see a hair out of place until he gets to Wrestle Kingdom. Danielson in the Tokyo Dome. And by the way, one more thing about Danielson Tokyo Dome. Tony Khan front New Japan the bill and give him Final Countdown. Front the bill for your business partner and give Danielson Final Countdown in the Tokyo Dome. That's all I'm saying. But as Sati Nyangi said, the E1. I want this stacked. Now, obviously, will we get every top star? Probably not, because they want to protect certain guys. But I need Kenny Omega.
Yes.
I need Konosuke Takeshita.
100% agree.
I need a Jay White.
I am all for them doing a multi-man matchup for the AEW World Championship. So for I created my own bracket. I did not include Jay White because I feel like Jay White should still be in the title program.
Fair. But I put Jay White there because G1 Climax experience.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
G1 Climax experience. He's been here before and he's somebody narratively you could tell a story for. And then even when we think of like mid card, I want Penta in this.
Oh yeah, I had Penta. Yeah, Penta's been killing it as of late. So I was like, yeah, you gotta put Penta in this.
I want Penta in this. I want a mix of the, and obviously Moxley probably should be in this as well, right? Then I just want guys who are Claudio should be here as well. Claudio should be here. I feel like what I want from the tournament is you can't have all your top guys in the tournament. Otherwise, you know, some of your top guys are going to lose momentum because only one person can win. Yeah. But what I want is just guys that we want to see on TV, a roosh, I want in this tournament. And I want to see new, fresh matchups. This is something that, you know, when AEW was created, we rightfully wanted to see. A lot of AEW fans in the beginning came from New Japan. And the G1 Climax is the gold standard of tournaments. And it still probably will be. But we want to see a great tournament on TV because the Owen weren't cutting it. The Owen weren't cutting it. And these random tournaments that Tony Khan does aren't cutting it. Well, here's the question.
The Eliminator was always good for me. I feel like...
Oh, the Eliminator was good. Yeah.
Last year, it took a step back because it was just really about Ricky winning the Eliminator more than having like good to great matches on TV. Yeah. But the Eliminator was always giving us that. And that's why I was like disappointed in this build to Full Gear that we didn't get it. But then they announced this and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense now.
That makes sense. What do you want to see? I know... Because of the timing of the tournament, it's very unlikely. But would you want to see any New Japan talent compete in this tournament?
Ooh, I would. I definitely would. And, I mean, the person that comes to mind immediately, and we're going to talk about his latest matchup, where he went against somebody from AEW, Shingo Takagi. Yes! He's not going to be in the World Tag League. Yes! You already made that clear. You're not giving us Gene Dragons of Tsuji and Shingo in this year's tournament. So, yeah, have Shingo work the Continental Classic.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you said Shingo because I don't think they got anything grand planned for him for Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, we'll announce. We'll talk about what they announced.
But putting Shingo in this tournament and immediately I have to see Dragon versus Dragon now. That has to be a block matchup. Dragon versus Dragon. And this guy Shingo's been teasing the Kenny Omega match for so long. This is the time to do it. Shingo's the guy. Shingo's the guy where he's a big enough name to attract fans, but he's not a name that New Japan like are going to be needing properly, like based on how they book him.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And my prediction for the big like win or upset of the tournament, Takeshita pins Bryan Danielson. Ooh. He gets his win back from earlier this year. That's how they reheat Takeshita up in this tournament.
He needs to be. Some people are saying though that the final should be Omega versus Danielson.
I would not mind that. I think that I do agree with the point of you want to make the finals of the tournament look like the biggest matchup possible you could have gave for the tournament finals. That it looks big on paper and then it delivers in the ring. They have unfinished business, their story there. Like I had someone say, oh, I don't want like Orange or Penta or Swerve in this tournament because, they faced a lot of these guys before. I was like, having ongoing issue or having previous matches are what makes the G1 always great. I was like, look at the G1s from the 2010 that everybody calls the greatest tournaments of all time. You want to know a common matchup we always saw in that tournament? Okada versus Tanahashi. Why? Because they have the history. It's all about history. It's all about basically stretching that history out or making that history grander in the tournament and then elevating other guys that you work it when you're separated.
How many times have we seen Naito versus Omega in the G1?
They did like 3 years straight.
Yeah, they did three straight. We saw Hiroki Goto versus Omega twice. We've seen G1 is all about matchups. Heck, we got Osprey Okada back-to-back these past 2 years.
Yeah, you're right. 100% right. But let's talk about the final thing we have to talk about on the show, which is the Lone Star Shootout. Next episode, we'll give our predictions for the Continental Classic when all the participants are announced. But NK, before we get into Lone Star Shootout and close things out, let the people know where they can follow you.
Yeah, so you can find me at NK Preach on Twitter, but most importantly, follow the Rest Things podcast. That's Rest Things on Twitter, on YouTube. We have our flagship podcast that comes out every Friday. And on Thursday nights, we have Revolution Radio, where we review the latest ongoings on Dynamite and AEW as a whole. And we me and Mex will definitely be talking about the Continental Classic, aka the E1 at Revolution Radio. Yeah, but stay locked in at Restings.
Absolutely. AEW, if you're listening to this, accept my media credentials because I applied for World's End. If you're giving me Dragon and Omega, I need to be there live.
Yeah.
AEW, accept it. All right, but let's talk Lone Star Shootout. We won't get too in-depth with the show. Well, one thing I've got to say, and you know, I haven't really stressed this with any of the other shows this year. I think maybe we mentioned it for like Battle in the Valley, but we kind of stepped off that argument. Jesus Christ, improve the production of these New Japan Strong shows. It's embarrassing. This should not, like, I've been telling people, I feel New Japan is the third biggest promotion in the United States. Yeah. I feel like it's as known. It helps out the second biggest promotion. They take stars from the first big promotion from there to bring over here. Like, it's the third biggest promotion, even bigger than the future TNA currently right now, Impact Wrestling. Impact and TNA can move into that position, but right now New Japan does it. But when you look at New Japan Strong shows in the US, fucking GCW has better production than y'all.
I will, like, say this.
It's embarrassing.
I will say this. I agree with you. I won't just extend it to New Japan. So I think New Japan international production isn't good. Whenever they go on the road, like outside of Japan, and it's not facilitated by AEW, the production takes a dip in quality. And the thing about New Japan, the reason why it hurts New Japan so much is because New Japan, when they're in Japan, arguably have the best cinematography in terms of capturing that. Like, there's a reason why that Kota Ibushi Will Ospreay meme is still posted to this day. It's the camera zooms. It's the Okada Rainmaker shots. Like, New Japan's camera work and production has always been top-notch. So it's so... like, you notice the downgrade so much more when they go overseas, because it's like, this doesn't even feel like the same company. This feels like I'm watching like a mom and pop indie show.
It really does. It really does feel like that. It's embarrassing. I feel bad. But we're going to go over a little bit of this card, and we'll really focus on the major matches towards the end here. I'm only going to read the results for the title matches, because the Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships, you had the Gorillas of Destiny, El Fantasmo, and Hikaleo picking up the win over the West Coast Wrecking Crews, Jarrell Nelson, and Royce Isaacs. Mystico then beat TJP in a special singles match. Then you had our boy Eddie Kingston picking up a win in his seventh defense since July of the NJPW Strong Openweight Championship against Satoshi Kojima, 10 minutes, 43 seconds. This was a hard-hitting affair. They packed in a lot of action into a short amount of time. Next up was the match of the night, in my opinion. Zack Sabre Jr. making his 16th defense of the NJPW World Television Championship against Speedball Mike Bailey. Our good friend of the podcast, of Wrestling, Kieran, said that is possibly the best Zack Sabre Jr. TV title match. And I honestly don't blame him. Like, the way this story flowed, there are two styles. You have Speedball Mike Bailey, who's a striker and a high flyer. You got Zack Sabre Jr. is the best technical wrestler in the world. And it had one of the most vile, disgusting, and brutal finishes of the year, where Zach catches Speedball with, he's going for the tornado kick. He catches him in midair into an armbar. He transitions the armbar into the disarmer. He transitions the disarmer into the Gugelpata. He starts bending on his fingers and snaps his pinky to the back of his hand, and Speedball taps out with 5 seconds remaining. All he had to do was hold on, and Zach said, nope, cracked his pinky. Oh my god. I just thought about it. I'm sorry. That was me gagging. Special tag team matchup. Yeah, John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta, the Blackpool Combat Club, beating Bullet Club's David Finlay and Kenta. Mayu Iwatani made her first defense of the IWGP Women's Championship in the United States against Stephanie Vaquer. Probably, if you don't think ZSJ versus Speedball was the best match, you probably thought this one was the best match. These two ladies, hard-hitting, brutal suplexes, just dropping Mayu and Stephanie Vaquer right on their head. Mayu getting the win with a big moonsault off the top rope. And then finally, Shingo Takagi defeated Trent Barretta, 25 minutes, 44 seconds for the NEVER Openweight Championship with the Last of the Dragon. This was a great matchup, a hell of an effort from Trent Barretta. Busted open, still fighting, putting Shingo through a table, brutal hard-hitting strikes from one another. This was a really good effort, probably Trent's best singles matchup since he signed with AEW, honestly, and it was for New Japan. Kind of fun. But after the matchup is what we got to really discuss here to close things off, NK, because another Wrestle Kingdom match was made as Tama Tonga accepted the challenge of Shingo Takagi of anyone from the roster to face him, and he accepted and said it was for January 4th at Wrestle Kingdom. Now, when they teased Tama Tonga and Shingo Takagi going at it again after a 26-minute matchup in Las Vegas, which was good. It was. I wouldn't even go as far as saying it was very, very good. But I was like, I don't want that to be the Wrestle Kingdom match. I kind of want y'all to just do it on a Kurgan Hall show in December. But now that it's the Wrestle Kingdom match, what's your feeling? You guys can't see NK, but he does not look pleased.
Why? I'm tired of the disrespect, Gato. I feel like you're disrespecting me. You are. You don't respect me. As a Shingo, I feel ignored. I just feel like as a Shingo fan, I really feel mistreated. Sonata fans are eating good these days. The guy's champ. What, as a Shingo fan, what do I have to look forward to? As a member of LIJ, what do I have to, like, Naito, okay, Naito's Naito, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing this thing. Yota Tsuji's cooking. Bushi's Bushi. We don't have hopes for him. But, you know, LIJ, Hiromu's doing great things. As a Shingo fan, what do I have? I've got nothing left. I've got no hopes. I've got no dreams. This is just a sad existence. Being a Shingo fan, I don't care about this match, man. Whatever, man. Like, my hope is Tony Khan of all people. Tony, save us! Save us! Because Kano ain't doing it, man. Like, the writing's on the wall right now. Shingo is just going to be... We're just going to talk about that pandemic reign. And that's about it. He's Drew McIntyre. That's it.
Damn! Oh! I compared David Finlay to Seth Rollins. You compared Shingo Takagi to Drew McIntyre. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why y'all listen. He's that. Finley equals Rollins, McIntyre equals Takagi. Yeah. That is your lesson for the day.
It's not happening. Like it's sad, man. He's one of the best. He should be like on top of the best. Like when it comes to the best of the world in the world discussions, Shingo is there.
Well, We're gonna let that sadness and the realization that he's gonna see a Tama Tonga Shingo Takagi matchup. We'll stay with NK until the next time we greet y'all. You will hear from all of us on Thanksgiving weekend. So happy Thanksgiving to all of y'all listening. We appreciate y'all for listening as always. So for NK, it is me, your true Hill Phenom SP3. This has been Ace Techers, and we're out.